Now here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstormin' with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is However the Spirit Moves You. Each of my guests is telling us about how the Spirit moves them and how the Spirit can move us too. My next guest is one of a handful of people to have traveled to all 320 countries in the world. We'll discuss his travel spirit and how the Spirit can move us from his latest book, Travel Dreams Sold Here. And if you have any travel-related questions or if you'd just like to speak to my guest, you can call us at 639-0008. Gig Gwynn is the most traveled travel agent in the world. According to the Travelers Century Club of Los Angeles, there are 317 countries. Gig has visited all of them, many of them numerous times, plus several countries that are no longer countries. By 18, Gig had visited 46 of the 50 United States. His first international travel experience was a trip to Vietnam, courtesy of the U.S. Army, and it was the beginning of a lifetime of passion for travel and cultures. Gig has been on over 2,600 flights, covering 3.4 million miles, over 30 cruises, innumerable trains, motor coaches, taxis, cars, and even hoofing it when necessary. Local transportation has involved riding on elephants, camels, horses, mules, donkeys, and even an ostrich. Gig's second passion is travel writing, and he has been the American Express Persona Magazine travel writer for the past 4 years. He was a product development manager for Merit's Travel Company. For those of you who don't know, Merit's is the largest travel incentive company in the world, and his destination report was key to his clients' site selection. Gig has been featured in newspapers worldwide thanks to the Associated Press. He's been in USA Today, Wall Street Journal, The Globe and Mail up in Toronto, and he's also a contributing writer for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Gig graduated from the University of Missouri, and with a brief stint at Transworld Airlines as a reservation agent, he then joined Merit's Corporation. Joining us from steamy St. Louis, hi Gig, how are you today?
Well, we are steamy, but we're happy because we got a rainstorm out here.
That is always good. If you've ever grown up in the Midwest, you know how welcome that rain is in the middle of the summer like this. So let's dive right into it. You're one of only a handful of people who have gone to every country in the world. But I guess my first question to you is, why do you travel, Gig? I mean, some people travel because they like the food, others because of the culture, the people that they meet, the experiences. Why do you personally travel and want to go to all 320 countries?
You know, Bill, you got the right theme when you talk about spirits. It's the spirit within all of us, not just me, but everybody, that motivates a very high percentage of people to travel. You know, they work all year, they save their money, they get vacation time, and then traveling becomes paramount in their life. And they're, you know, I've kind of worked it out. There's five different motivations that bring people to travel. Certainly discovery and sightseeing and touring is one, and just kicking back and relaxing is two, or adventure travel. My golly, California surely does that with our hiking and other things, would be number three. Number four would be special interests. Say you collect beer cans, or you love sports or symphonies or something. That would be another area of real interest for people. And to get the spirit, I actually have in my first chapter, I talk about the different things that inspire you or the spirit within you that makes you want to travel. And some people usually get, say, two out of five, and maybe that's the best way to travel for, you know, one person to want to see the British Museum is fantastic. For another person, lying on the beach hits the spot. So that's the kind of the feeling of spirit that I put in the first chapter of the book.
My guest is Gig Gwynn. And Gig, you mentioned in your answer there that Americans save all year long for their vacation, and they usually take a two-week vacation. Let's compare and contrast American travelers versus European travelers. Now, Americans, typically we get 2 weeks of vacation each year. Europeans get six. What is it about being European that makes them more adventuresome when it comes to world travel than it does, say, the United States?
Well, I'm not sure. I'm not necessarily sure they're more adventurous. When they've been given 6 weeks, I mean, that gives you a tremendous option. The Europeans, by nature, though, are adventure-seeking people. They like particularly to hike, to walk, to see. I mean, and California, of course, becomes incredibly valuable to them. You know, Kings Canyon or the great hikes or climbs. in Yosemite or Sequoia or even up north in the Redwood Territory up by Eureka. So, I mean, that would be what a European would be, a lot of Europeans would be dying to do. The all of them seem to like natural beauty. And, of course, California, for a European, offers uniqueness. I mean, there's, if you would forgive me, but there's really only one Pebble Beach golf course. There's really only really one Hollywood in the world.
Right. only one Chinatown in San Francisco. But, Gig, if you look at California, it's interesting that you should bring up the diversity because, realistically, California should probably be five states. When you think about it, you've got coastal California, which is different than inland California. You mentioned the Sequoias up north. And each area not only has a different climate, but really has a different feel to it, a different vibe to it as well, plus its own special interests. So California is unique in that way. How much time have you spent out here in the Golden State, Gig?
Yeah, I've spent a lot of time anywhere from making adventure climbs and writing articles to an hour or two at the Buena Vista Bar in San Francisco. I just recently did Napa and then went up north and did the Avenue of the Giants and that whole beautiful area up there along the coastline. Then I continued up into Oregon and Washington. So, yeah, I feel pretty good about it. As a matter of fact, you guys have Tirrenia have a new resort down there that I also traveled on another trip. I'm not pushing any hotel or anything, but that's a beautiful property.
Mm.
It's on Palos Verde Peninsula.
Oh, it's beautiful down there.
And for someone like myself who has been to California a lot but hasn't had an opportunity to really get in depth sometimes, boy, what a California feeling resort that is. Really lovely.
Well, that's good to hear. My guest is Gig Gwynn. He's the author of the book, Travel Dreams Sold Here, Crafting an Extraordinary Vacation. Gig, I am going to pin you down. I'm going to ask you, if you look at all of California, tell me what stands out in your mind as being maybe the top attractions to you in the state of California.
Well, Sequoia National Park is absolutely amazing. I went out there with another reporter from our paper here in town, and we did things like climb Morro Rock. It's a gorgeous opportunity to see the mountain ranges and in the distance Mount Whitney. But the trees, I mean, they're just nothing like sequoias. Nowhere, anywhere in the world that I've ever been. So I'd put that very high on the list. And you know, maybe it is that I like beauty, but you got to throw Big Sur in there. Mm. I was down and ate at a rather famous restaurant right on the coast called Phoenix the Pentheon. You overlook two sides of the ocean, and you know you have the California wines and the wonderful seafood. So that's also some pretty special places. And you also have to put in the Redwood Coastal National Park there and state parks, because that's so unique and so different, and you just don't find it anywhere else in the world.
So very true. My guest is Gig Gwynn. Gig, I'm going to pin you down and talk about favorite hotels. And this can be worldwide. It doesn't have to be in California. But list off some of your favorite hotels, because you've had the opportunity to go to a variety of different places. What are some of your favorites?
Well, I'll start one quick one. One of my all-time favorites in California is the Aquani Hotel, which is somewhat of a deluxe lodge that, as we all know, is located in Yosemite, and it's a bear to even get a reservation there.
No pun intended, a bear. Sorry.
Sorry. That was bad. And you know, I got some, there's one in Ireland. There are some castles there, and Ashford Castle, which is north of Galway Bay, it has got to be one of the most stunning historic and beautiful hotels in the world. For a city hotel, it's hard to beat the Ritz in Paris. I like Banff Springs Hotel in Alberta, up by Banff, because it sits on the side of a national park right in the middle of a forest. You could go out any morning and have a cup of coffee and watch a moose cross the parking lot. So those are a few that I always think of as as unique and special hotels around the world.
Well, my guest is Gig Nguyen. He has the distinct privilege of having visited every country in the world, all 320 of them, and even some that are no longer countries, interestingly enough. So, Gig, let's just play another little game. Let's ask you your favorite destination by continent. So let's start here in North America. What's your favorite North American destination?
Well, of course, the United States is my favorite because we're so big, we're so beautiful, and our infrastructure is so good. It's so easy to do things. But I'm a big fan of Canada. And there's places that that people should always consider, like PEI, Prince Edward Island, and the Maritimes, Hopewell Rock, and the great Bay of Fundy that rises and falls almost 40 feet every day. Canada is a big favorite of mine, and of course the United States, it's hard not to argue that.
Yeah, hard to argue that. You will get no argument from me there. What about South America? What's your favorite place there?
You know, this Uruguay is again off the map a little bit. It's where the well-to-do South Americans go to play. Montevideo and then out to Punta del Este. A beautiful resort area that like that, but it's also hard to ever ignore up into the Inca country in Peru when you get up to Machu Picchu and Cusco. And I guess the last one, well, would be Rio. Rio will always be Rio as long as the karaoke's dance and parade and samba and do more of dancing, parading, and samba.
And the Olympics are going there next year. What are your thoughts about that? That's a little challenging for me because Rio has the reputation of being a crime-ridden city. Your thoughts about the Olympics going there?
Well, it is. It does carry that stigma, unfortunately, and I think it's earned it. But they, you know, for a while the police were owned by the bad guys, but they've cleaned their act up, and I'm going down there in another 6 months or so. But it's the safety is getting much better. But again, that's a little burden that they have to overcome.
Without a doubt. My guest is Gig Nguyen. Gig, what about Europe? Where's your favorite or some favorites in Europe?
Well, as far as monumental things to see and do, you can't beat England and France and Italy, particularly France. Also throw in fabulous food along with great culture. And so to me, seeing Mont Saint-Michel on the coast, or here's one for your listeners. There is a medieval city right on the edge of the Pyrenees called Carcassonne, and you would get there through a big city called Toulouse. What a absolutely charming place! It goes all the way back into the Roman times, so that would be one of those. But the two littler, if you will, countries that I would recommend anybody go to is Austria and Switzerland. Both are extremely pretty, and both have very, very nice people. And they both stand tourism very well. So that would be a start in Europe.
Without a doubt. There's so many places to go in Europe. My guest is Gig Nguyen. Gig, what about Africa? Now, there's a massive continent. There's so much to do there. Some of your favorite places in Africa?
Well, on the top, you can never avoid Egypt. And Egypt, by the way, is the best bargain in the world right now because, A, it's safe, and B, everybody's afraid to go there.
Right.
If you're planning a trip and really want to say, somebody says, Gig, where's the best place to go? It's certainly Egypt. You won't get hurt. You'll have a wonderful time, and you'll see, you know, the pyramids, the greatest man-made wonders of the world. Morocco is also very intriguing because it has a combination of an Arab feeling and a French feeling, as the French were the original
occupiers
there. And then, of course, you have to go down to East Africa, to Kenya, Tanzania, Ngorongoro Crater, which is an extinct volcano, is incredible. Have you ever had a chance to get to Africa?
I have. I have had the luxury of going to Morocco. That's the only country in Africa that I have seen personally.
Yeah,
so many places to explore, though.
And of course, South Africa. I'm escorting a group next year to Botswana, and we're going to see Victoria Falls from the Zambian side, and then go on out and shake hands with some of the more prominent animals of the Okavango Delta as the river comes down.
How very fun!
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Yeah, that is. All right, let's switch to an equally large continent, and that is Asia. Some of your favorite places in Asia.
Well, I like the culture of Japan because it is, by the way, the safest place in the world.
Oh, without a doubt.
If you leave your wallet on a table in a restaurant and walk out, two or three Japanese will grab your wallet and run as fast as they can to catch you to hand you the wallet back.
Amazing.
They're the safest. They're very polite. They're very clean. Japan is full of interesting sightseeing. I just came back from China. I went down to the Sichuan province as a guest of the Chinese government, and I looked at pandas and saw some recovery from some of the volcanic action over there, the earthquakes that they had. Boy, is Beijing growing up. Oh, boy. I've seen it over the last 40 years, and it went from a Maoist-looking, you know, army camp to as sophisticated a city as there is in the world.
Mm.
So I'd put China there, and I'd also have to throw in Thailand.
Thailand
because of its unique architecture. And Thailand's a big player in Southeast Asia, and they have the power and the economy to do things, and they have a beloved king and queen that also put a kind of a nice glow upon the country. So I do avoid that during the monsoon season.
Okay. There's a tip from my guest, Gig Nguyen, who is the author of the book, Travel Dreams Sold Here, Crafting an Extraordinary Vacation. Gig, if people are interested to learn more about your travel writings, they want to learn more about some of the countries that you recommend and so forth, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Well, they can go to my website, Gwyn's, GWINS.com/gig, or, of course, Amazon. Of course, all they need to pull up is Travel Dreams Sold Here, and we can get them a book. And, you know, Bill, the purpose of the book was to write the 75 grand tours of the world, and I pared it down from over 200. And California's in there, by the way.
Good.
I mentioned a lot of the places we've mentioned, and it gives someone the opportunity to look at an unbiased list paid by nobody and then get a feeling whether this would be the right vacation or trip in their lifestyle.
Oh, that is great. And as people are planning their vacations, the book couldn't be more timely. Gig, thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Well, thank you, sir, and enjoy it very much.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You.